Welcome, everyone, to the MMQB Gambling Podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Jimmy Traina, and it's, I was going to say, good to be back. We're all back in the studio, but no, Gary Gramling is Skyping in this week, as I had done the past 2 weeks. Gary Gramling, Mitch Goldich, my partners here, back for the first pod of 2020. Well, I guess it's the second pod, but divisional round now. We're ready to go. How did the fellas do on their best bets wildcard weekend, Mitch?
Not the best week for me. I was feeling very good. I nailed the, I told you guys, Titans money line. I felt good about it. So I was looking good on Saturday. My Sunday didn't go so well. So on the our official best bets for this podcast, I was 2-3. So not a great week.
How did you pulled five bets out of four games last week?
I did. I don't know. I was feeling it. I was on one.
Gary, the best bets, how'd they treat you in wild card weekend?
And not well. 1-2. I mean, really, the Bills are what swung it. The Bills had to play to win.
Right.
Bills had to play to not kick field goals, and they would have breezed through Houston and into the conference semifinals here. But
4th and 27, still trying to figure it out.
Well, Gary, the big one, you and me, we were both wrong on the Vikings-Saints over. And if that had hit the over, you and I both would have been over 500 last week. Yeah. So that was the one
The Bills did to the Texans exactly what I thought they were going to do to them, except they just decided, like, let's just kick some field goals, guys.
And you liked the over in that game. That was one of your best bets, I think, with me.
No. I had the under in. I meant the under on Eagles Seahawks.
Oh, okay. Because I was 1-1 with best bets. I had the under in the Bills Texans game, and then I had the over in the Seattle Philly game. Thanks, Jadeveon Clowney, for pulling a Jimmy Snuck off the top of the cage and headbutting Carson Wentz and then putting him out. And then I couldn't score because the quarterback for the Eagles was 75 years old.
Yeah, many of us were upset by that, Jimmy.
I mean, I got everyone just praising Josh McNown like crazy. Meanwhile, he can't score to save his life, so whatever. And then you're over, just goes kaplooey just like that. So I was 1-1. At least I did better than you two, though, at least 500.
Yeah,
so.
Well, you were a coward. Only two
picks. Exactly, yeah. I'll tell you this. I don't like any of these games this week with the lines or the totals, but I'll see what I can do.
Great intro. Let's do it.
I don't know. I usually love betting the playoffs. I find these very hard this year. This week, too, I find very difficult, but let's break it down for the people here. Divisional round, Saturday, 4:35, NBC. Vikings, with the huge upset at New Orleans last week, go into San Francisco. The Niners are a 7-point favorite. The total here is 44.5, Gary.
Yeah, you know, I really liked that total when it came out. I think it was like 46.5 in some places when it opened. And it's just sunk just a little bit low enough that I don't think I'm going to touch it. I really think both of these defenses just sort of match up really well against the opposing offenses. I do think this is going to be just a defensive battle here. And, I mean, look, I wouldn't be surprised if the Vikings stole this game. I do think they'll keep it close. I'm going to lean Minnesota here, even though I do think the 49ers are the best team in football. I think it's another case this week of the two best teams in the NFC playoffs going at each other, and then the lesser two teams in the undercard, but they will move on too. But I'm really intrigued by that under. 44.5 is a little too low for me, but I think the Vikings stick around. I think it's a one-possession game.
Yeah, well, one thing to keep an eye on, I should have mentioned this, is a weird... On Wednesday, Adam Thielen had some sort of ankle cut, and he has stitches. So, you know, if you want to bet the Vikings, bet the over, keep monitoring that right up until Sunday. Mitch?
Yeah, I like the Vikings a lot. And Gary, I'm with you on them. I feel good enough. This is going to be one of my best bets to take them +7. And you said they could steal one. I actually picked it. You know, I don't know how. I don't feel as good about this one as I did on the Titans-Patriots game, which I was very confident about last week. But I could definitely see this. So I like them keeping it within 7. Happy to take them here. Like Jimmy, like you said, I'm a little worried about them Thielen, you know, you waited all the whole second half of the season for him to get healthy. He finally gets healthy, has a huge game, and now he's got stitches in his ankle. Stefon Diggs missed at least one, maybe 2 days of practice with an illness. But I think coming out of that last game, you've got to feel great about what you saw from Dalvin Cook. I know everyone wants to talk about Kirk Cousins, but I think really the biggest question mark for them on offense was how healthy is Dalvin Cook. And from what you saw last week, you've got to feel really good about him moving forward. You know, the Vikings are also, they're still banged up in the defensive, in the secondary and defensive backfield there. And, you know, I like the Niners, and I think Jimmy G's done a great job, but I do think if you're looking at which quarterbacks are going to take advantage of injured players and backups in the secondary, I don't want to offend any Jimmy G stands out there, but he's not your top choice for the guy who's going to, like, pinpoint deep passes. Like, I think I'd be more worried a bit against guys like Rodgers and Breeze even. You know, but I like these teams. I think it's going to be a fun game where both teams really want to run the ball. A lot of it might come down to how healthy the Niners are on defense. We've talked about them. Their defense was amazing the first half of the season. Now it looks like Kwon Alexander is going to be back. It looks like Dee Ford's going to be back. That makes a huge difference. But I just think this is going to be a close game in the 20s. You know, you look at what the Vikings did last week against, I thought the Saints were the best team in the NFC. And then I know it took overtime and it was a close game, but I was really impressed by what I saw. So for me, seeing the Vikings +7, it's a pretty easy call. I like them to cover.
I like the Niners. Couple of things. I think people are on the Vikings because of one game, because they went into New Orleans, obviously, won that game. If you remember the last real game the Vikings played in the regular season, they couldn't score against the Packers, couldn't do anything. It was a really bad loss for them. I don't want – now, listen, Dalvin Cook back. Dalvin Cook looked amazing against the Saints.
They also didn't have Madison that game. That was right. The Mike Boone fantasy championship waiver wire special game.
But I think going on the road – to New Orleans and then San Francisco back-to-back is a very, very tall order. Niners have it in the week of rest to get their defensive players healthy, like Mitch said. I don't think the Vikings are as good as last week. I think last week was more about the Saints almost than the Vikings. And if Thielen is slowed down at all, that's going to be a big problem for the Vikings as well. I think the Niners will be able to slow down Dalvin Cook enough where they pull out the win, and I do think 7 is a little high, but I feel like everyone's on the Vikings now because of that win, so I'll go the other way just based on that.
I just want to say I disagree a little. I've liked the Vikings, and I feel like I've talked about them a bunch this year that they've been an underrated team.
Yeah,
and I'm not picking them just because of what we saw last week. I actually think of that Packers game as kind of the anomaly. That was the game. They were banged up, didn't have Cook. Yeah. I think if you look at what they've done, they've been a good, underrated team all year. And so I don't think that I'm right. Overreacting to last week's game. And also the Niners, I mean, they're a really good team. We know that. But some of their more impressive wins, especially down the stretch, they beat the Saints by 2, they beat the Rams by 3, they beat the Seahawks by 5, barely at the end of the game. So they have not been, like, you look over at Baltimore and Kansas City, they're blowing teams out, winning by double digits. The Niners haven't really been that team.
Like, this line should really be 5, 5.5. The fact that it's 7, it makes me think Vegas knows something. Gary?
Well, I just sort of jumped on what Mitch said. I will say, when you look at the Vikings and the teams that have really just caused that Vikings offense to melt down, it's teams that can pressure the quarterback without blitzing. Teams that have really good front fours. That's what the Packers did to the Vikings twice. That's what the Bears did to the Vikings. I mean, look, the 49ers are absolutely capable of doing that. The question is, I mean, look, it's a fairly predictable defense on the back end, relatively predictable defense on the back end. Can the Vikings dial some stuff up and take advantage of that? And then on the other side of the ball, 49ers tend to score on teams because they can't tackle, and the Vikings tackle really well. So I'm with you and against you simultaneously, Mitch. I will lean Vikings with you, but I won't best bet with you.
You lean Mitch. That's what I
yeah,
get from that.
That's right. I got a Mitch pin on.
All right, Saturday night concludes with Lamar Jackson and the Ravens at home, giving 9.5 points to the Titans, coming off the big win in New England and maybe putting a nail in the Patriot dynasty. Total is 47 here, 8:15 CBS Saturday night. Ravens -9.5, Titans against the Titans, total 47, Mitch.
So, Jimmy, I want to agree with something you said right off the top when you said you basically hate all the games and hate the lines. I feel that way about both AFC games this week, where we've got the two teams that most people have thought have been the best teams in the AFC for a while. I know, you know, the Patriots started the season hot and faded. But anyway, two great teams who had first-round buys, time to rest up and get healthy, and now spreads are 9.5, 10 points, whatever, going against two teams that won last week. These are both, I think, just really tough games to pick. For the Ravens, I have concerns about Mark Ingram. I know that he practiced today. I just think he's been such an important part of what they've done all season.
Yeah, it doesn't sound good.
You know, it's a calf injury, and a lot of times those guys think they're well enough to play, and they'll come back and re-injure it in the first quarter, or they'll play, and they're just not the same. That does worry me. I don't know that he's gotten it. Listen, Lamar's been incredible, deserves the MVP, first-team All-Pro, everything. But I don't know that Ingram's quite gotten the credit he deserves for the season he had and how much he means to them. I do like the Titans. Again, I liked them before last week. I think it's a good team. I think they sort of they strike me as a team that can have that efficient offense and run the ball a lot and try to have long possessions and sort of stretch the game out so neither team has a ton of possessions and they keep it kind of a low-scoring game, which you would think would make it harder for the Ravens to run away from them and win by double digits. And they feel like a team well-equipped to play that kind of style for 60 minutes. Part of it's, I mean, I guess it's hard. I think subconsciously I want to see a close game, and I feel this way about both AFC games where it's tempting to pick the underdog because I have visions of just an exciting playoff weekend and a couple of close games that come down to the end, and you don't necessarily want to think about these games being double-digit point spreads. But that doesn't necessarily mean they can't be exciting games, even if they are and they come down to the end and then the Ravens pull it out. But I think the Ravens are just so good. We've talked about it. There was a stretch in the middle of the year where we were all just kind of picking the Ravens every week without even thinking too much about it. And there's probably some recency bias where we just saw the Titans do what they did in New England. We haven't seen the Ravens in a while. They had a bye week. They rested their starters in week 17, and still they're fake punting and covering the spread against the Steelers, which Jimmy saw coming and I didn't. And I think sometimes you just take a step back and remember how good the Ravens were all year and how many games they won so easily. It's probably a stay away just because the spread is so big. But if I have to pick, I'm going to lean Ravens.
Gary?
Yeah, I think similarly as Mitch here on this one, although I'll lean Titans a little bit just because I will kind of say, you know, two quality teams in January here. I will just assume it's going to be a close game, even though, I mean, look, no one's going to be surprised if the Ravens get out 28-3 or something like that in the second quarter, and then it never gets close. I am really interested in this total at 47. I think I'm going to go over on it. I think I'm going to best bet it as over. I was looking at a stat. We think the Titans, you know, even before Derrick Henry, I mean, they've always just been sort of a conservative, run heavy team. Last 20 times they have faced an opponent who averages 150 or more rushing yards per game, the total has gone over in 16 of those 20 games. So I do wonder if some people are looking at run-heavy team versus run-heavy team and saying, this one can't get to 50 points. I think it can, and I think I'm going to take that over 47.
Just took every word out of my mouth. I have nothing left to say. You just said everything I was going to say. I don't like the side here. I think 9.5 is a high line for a playoff game here. And, I believe in Tennessee here. So I wouldn't lay the 9.5. Not going to say I'd best bet Tennessee, but I do like that over. I think, listen, the Ravens were the top offense in the NFL all season, scoring over 30 points a game. Titans, I was surprised when I looked this up. They were at 25 points a game, the Titans, and that includes the first 5-6 weeks with Mariota doing nothing. And once Tannehill took over, their offensive numbers obviously went up. The one concern with the over here is, Gary, sort of touched on here, you have two teams that are going to run a lot. Derrick Henry is going to get his 20, 25 carries. Lamar Jackson runs the ball. Clock is going to constantly be moving, which when you bet an over is, not good for the blood pressure. But I don't see the scoring being slowed down here. I think you're going to see scoring. And I love the fact that the Titans only scored 14 last week against the Patriots. Yeah. I think that means they're going to work on their offense. And the Patriot, the Patriots were able to slow down the Titans a little bit. I don't think the Ravens will slow them down as much. So I like the over there. as well as Gary. I don't have a lean on this side.
Jimmy, I'm excited for the our XFL gambling pod. They have the running clock the whole game, so we're going to be talking all kinds of new info for
totals. There'll be a different host for that podcast, I can assure you. All right, Sunday, 3:05 CBS, the Chiefs. This is the team I'm rooting for to win the Super Bowl. Let Andy Reid get his ring already. They're giving 9.5 points to the Texans. The total is big here, highest one of the weekend, 51. Gary.
Yeah, I do really like the Chiefs here. Again, I'll keep on riding it. They are, when they have their full lineup intact, that's Mahomes, it's Tyreek Hill, that's the offensive line, they're 7-0 straight up against the spread, straight up and against the spread. They have a point differential of plus 16 in those games, so they're no one's really playing that close to them. Chargers in week 17 were probably the team that were most competitive with them, and that was still a 10-point win. I know these teams met back in October. Everyone points to the Mahomes dislocated knee. We all remember that injury. I think a lot of people forgot that Mahomes was basically playing on one foot early on because of a severe ankle injury. So he was playing on one foot in that game. They had just gotten Tyreek Hill back. Tyreek Hill only played about half the snaps in that game. They had no Eric Fisher. That was also the game with that really weird... It turned on that really weird pass interference call that they flagged, and it probably technically was holding instead of pass interference, but they just decided to just not call anything, which was an interesting decision after they clearly had consulted with New York, and New York told them something incorrect. And by the way, it is Sean Hockley doing this game just like he did back when it was Houston, Kansas City, back in the regular season. But... this Chiefs run defense has been totally different. That's how the Texans beat them last time. They had almost 200 yards on the ground. Really, the only team that has run on the Chiefs since that game back in week 6 was the Titans. The Texans do not have the type of rushing attack that the Titans have. But I think more than anything, and again, I will never let go of that Bills loss last week, but if there's anything you can learn from that game, it's don't let Deshaun Watson hang around.
Right.
The Bills could have put 30-something points up in that game. They chose not to. They got super conservative. Now, the Chiefs against this Texans defense, they can basically name their number. Just go out and score 40 points. Be up, just like when the Broncos blew out the Texans in Houston a couple of weeks ago. They just went out and put up like 38 points in the first half. Deshaun Watson's not going to put up 38 in the second half. So just score points. Don't be like, well, we're up 2 possessions. Deshaun Watson, can he score 2 touchdowns and a half of football? I don't know. No, just score a ton of points and just blow them out. That's how you beat the Texans.
Or tackle him when two people are
converging. That also helps.
Yeah, helps. Yeah. Mitch?
So I think I agree with a lot of what Gary said. It's very striking to me, again, how similar these two games are. I think that looking at the Titans and Texans, the two teams that won last week, I think the Titans should feel better about themselves for what they did. The Texans, I mean, you feel great about Deshaun Watson and how your franchise is set up at the QB position for the next 10 years or whatever. But the rest of the game, it was an exciting win and good for them. But, I don't know how much confidence you really have in the whole team outside of Deshaun Watson coming out of that, as much as I love Watson. Buffalo held the Texans to 19 points in regulation. And we've talked a lot about how good Buffalo's defense is. The Chiefs' defense has gotten much better. Probably not as good as Buffalo's, but they're really good. But really, they only have to hold the Texans to 23 or 24 to win this game, because we know the Chiefs are going to score points. So the question, can they cover? It's really, are they going to either hold Houston to 17, or is Kansas City going to score 31-34, since you'd figure that's what it's going to take? And it seems like either of those are possible. There are multiple ways that they could win this game. They could win by holding the Texans down or by just outscoring them and putting a ton of points up. I was a little surprised to see the Chiefs were only 5-3 at home this year, and better on the road. That strikes me as one of those places where they would have a home field advantage, and that crowd being in a frenzy. And I just feel like they're going to cook up something special for this game. Gary, you talked a little about Bill O'Brien and leaving points out there. That's the other thing is I'm just trying to envision the game. You could see the Texans scoring 13 or 16 or something because there are, again, first half possessions where it's fourth and short and he kicks a field goal and he needs to be going for touchdowns the whole game. But you could easily see that where Bill O'Brien is too conservative and he takes the points or he decides to punt and then, oh, fourth quarter, oh, turns out we didn't have enough points and I guess we need to outscore him. Like, that's the playbook. And the Ravens showed us that really early in the season, that game against the Chiefs when Harbaugh came out and was like, we're going to go for every fourth down. We're going to go for two-point conversions. We're going to be aggressive. That's what you have to do. I don't think the Texans are going to do that. It's tough. I almost feel like if I pick both of these favorites to cover and win by double digits, I'll get one of them, and you're trying to figure out which one. But I lean Kansas City. I don't think this is going to be a best bet. I will say, though, I do kind of like the under here. I know I've talked about both offenses, but it just feels like 51 might be a little high. I know the Chiefs could put up 35 themselves, but it feels like they haven't been over that 51 number in too many games, and especially since their defense has been playing better. I could just see it being 28-16 or something, again, with a bunch of field goals from the Texans and not enough touchdowns, so I'm probably going to stay away from this game completely, but I lean Chiefs, and I'm kind of interested in that under.
I like the Chiefs here a lot for a ton of reasons. I've said on this podcast every single week for the last, couple of months that the Chief, I don't know how it happened or when exactly it happened, but the Chief defense stopped being a joke and it stopped being a liability. So if you're one of the people referencing back to the Texans' win over the Chiefs earlier in the regular season, the Chief defense was not then what it is now. It's a big improvement. And, you know, Mitch, you mentioned the stat about the Chiefs being 5-3 at home. I'd love to know how many of those losses came, in the first maybe 8 weeks, because once that defense tightened up, the Chiefs went to another level. The Texans should have lost last week against the Bills, in my opinion. I said on this podcast earlier in the year a bunch of times, and then he improved and I shut up, that Josh Allen was a terrible quarterback. Josh Allen was a terrible quarterback. I'm talking about completing passes. I mean, the guy, the Texans are in it for a rude awakening this week, going from Josh Allen to Patrick Mahomes. I mean, a rude awakening. So
Patrick Mahomes is just Josh Allen without all the crazy mistakes.
I'm not even talking about the lateral and the taking 58 sacks in a row. I'm talking about like just trying to complete basic passes. It's an adventure with him. Mahomes is not going to be the case here, and Gary, I think you've mentioned this on the pod, I think last week and maybe other times throughout the year. It's a really, really weird thing, but it seems to be real. The Texans offense, when Will Fuller doesn't play, just slows down. And his status, I guess, is still up in the air as of Thursday. Do you know anything about that?
He's questionable, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's up in the air. Even if he plays, I can't think he's 100%. It's another lower body soft tissue injury with him.
It's a weird, quirky thing, but you've said it before. When he's not there, I guess teams just double and triple DeAndre Hopkins, and it just limits what the Texans can do offensively. So for all those reasons, and, again, Patrick Mahomes, I like the Chiefs here in this game, even though it's a big number. All right, last game, 6:40 Sunday on Fox. I don't know how you guys feel about it. To me, this is the least intriguing game, and then this is the last game of the weekend. It is the Packers at home giving 4 points to the Seahawks, who had that win in Philly last week to advance. The total here is 46.5. Mitch obviously watched every play of the Seahawks win over the Eagles as an Eagle fan, so we'll start with him and see if he was impressed enough with Seattle to take the 4 points in Lambeau Field.
Nice of you acknowledging that I watched the whole thing and not assuming that I shut the TV off and cried myself.
Oh, I mean, they kept it within a touchdown end.
It was a fun game, despite everything. Yeah, so this, Jimmy, I don't know about your call that this is the least interesting or fun game of the weekend. Every Seahawks game is so weird, and it's sometimes you can't turn your eyes away.
Right.
Even these two teams in particular against each other, their playoff history, I just feel like any Seahawks playoff game is going to make no sense and go off the rails to crazy town. It's also, this is, I think, the only game of the weekend where weather will be a real factor, because no precipitation, but I think it's just going to be freezing cold in Lambeau, and it's the second game, so it's going to be at night after dark. I don't know why I said night after dark, those two things. You can assume that. But I just think it's going to be freezing cold, and it's going to be interesting to see how well the offenses move the ball and how interested the defenses are in tackling in some of that weather, because it's going to hurt. So two teams where I think we've looked at them all year and wondered how they got to the record that they have. And I know Gary has been hammering me all season with Seahawks stuff. It's very funny. I was pro Seahawks and pro Vikings all season. And then last week I abandoned both of them and was burnt. But I just like them, and I don't care. I know that the numbers say they aren't as good as they've been, and I know there are all kinds of trends that they're going to regress and can't keep it up, and their point differential and all that thing. But I just like them. They find ways to win these games. It's very interesting. So now they're down to their fourth and fifth running backs, basically, and Travis Homer and Marshawn Lynch. And it's funny because it feels like so much of the criticism for Pete Carroll is that he just wants to run and run and run, and everyone else on earth wants him to turn loose Russell Wilson and throw the ball and improvise and run the offense that way. And you wonder if maybe now they're forced to do that and it actually kind of works out for them. I like Chris Carson. I'm sure they would rather have their top three running backs, but maybe now they put the game in Russell Wilson's hands a little bit. I do like the Packers, and their defense has gotten better. I know they made some upgrades this offseason that have worked out, but I just think defending Russell Wilson when he's improvising and extending the play is one of the toughest things to do in the NFL. And as much as I respect what the Packers have done, I believe in the Seahawks' ability to keep it close. This is one to me where I think the line is off. If this line was 2.5 points, it would be a much, much tougher decision for me. But Seattle, they don't even have to win. They just have to cover 4 points. Those numbers, 3 and 4, are so big that I definitely love Seattle plus 4. They're a team, they went 4 and 4. We always talk about the Seahawks' home field advantage. They were 4 and 4 at home, 7 and 1, now 8 and 1 on the road with the playoff win. I saw the stat. They went 6-0 in the Eastern time zone. So this is a team, they don't care where they play or what time. Now they're in the Central time zone with a 5:30 local time kickoff in the cold weather. And I just think, you know, again, if it was 2, 1.5, whatever, it would be much tougher. But giving them 4 points, I could easily see the Packers winning by 3 on a field goal at the end. I could just as easily see Seattle doing the same thing. I'm happy to take the points.
Gary.
Yeah, I'll point out once again, these were the two worst teams in the NFC bracket by a pretty wide margin. However, I will. I guess that was already sort of insulting to the Seahawks fans, but I've been saying that all year, and the Seahawks keep winning. I will now give the bad news to the Seahawks fans, which is I'm with Mitch. I like Seattle in this one. I think this one probably comes down to a late field goal, and to me, it's kind of a coin flip type of game. Obviously, you like the Packers a little bit more at home if you're just looking, you know, who's going to win, who's going to lose. But either side giving more than a field goal here, I will take the Seahawks in that. The Seahawks are, over the last three seasons, 11-2 on the road when the total is between 42 and 49 points. And I do want to talk about the total just a little bit, because I like it to a point that I hate it. Like, I'm suspicious of this total. I think this total should be in the low 40s. I don't know if people are just looking at the brand name quarterbacks and saying, oh, we're going to see a lot of points here. As Mitch said, Seahawks want to go run, run, run. That's what they've been doing for years. I don't know. I don't know why it would change this week. They have they've been 21 points or less in for the last 5 games. The Packers, obviously, really good defensively this year, not very good offensively. They only scored 24 points once in the second half of the regular season. I mean, neither Aaron Rodgers nor Russell Wilson, these are not guys who put the ball in danger. So you're not going to get like those you know, the interception short field touchdown type of things. I think you're going to have long drives when you have points, and I don't think you're going to have a whole lot of points. So, I love the under in this one. So, like I said, so much so that I kind of hate it. But I think this is my biggest best bet of the week.
I don't know why I need to be here. You just did all my work again for me, second time. I love the under in this game. I don't think either team is going to score a ton of points. I think the Packer defense is the Packers now. The defense is the strong unit there, not the offense. And I think the Seahawks are going to have a lot of trouble scoring. This is an outdoor night, cold, maybe get some weather. I don't see anyone putting up a ton of points in this game. Like Mitch pointed out, the Seahawks running game is down to fifth and sixth stringers. I don't see how this gets near 46.5. Gary said it, and you know, it's my philosophy sort of with taking the Niners, trying to go the opposite way. I mean, the opposite way here would be to bet the over, because there's really, I don't know how you make an argument for an over here, but 46.5, I don't see it getting close to that. I just don't.
Can I tell you guys something? I didn't even bring it up. I was saving it for the last segment. I already also wrote down under 46.5 in this game as my best bets.
But that's good, because if you're listening to you should bet the over.
Gary Gramling called two pick sixes in this game, one for each side.
I would say that the first ever 85-84 playoff game coming up.
Yeah. I mean, listen, and we're sitting here, three of us, just saying under in a game where the quarterbacks are Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers. But so anything can happen. But I just, man, this is a tough spot for it. So that wraps up the four games here for the divisional round. We will go to the best bets now, and it'll be interesting to see. Mitch somehow squeezed five bets out of four games last week. So we have four games again. So we'll see how many games everyone's going to give us. And let's get it rolling with you, Mitch.
Well, Jimmy, you had the best week last week. We should make you go first. All right,
I'll go first. I'll be happy to go first. I have three. I am taking the over 47 in the Tennessee-Baltimore game. I just think, despite the clock constantly moving this game, you're going to get enough points to get that over. I don't think Lamar is going to be slowed down by the Titans. Chiefs -9.5, laid it all out for you. This is, the Chief defense being a legitimate unit lets the Chiefs cover games pretty easily now, because their offense can't be stopped. And the under 46.5 Seattle Green Bay, you know, it's a shocker after what we just spent the last 5 minutes on. So those are my three.
All right, well, now I can go.
Yep.
I am staying away from the AFC, but I will give you three bets on the NFC. And again, not a surprise, I like both of the underdogs to cover on the road. So I'll take that Minnesota +7 in San Francisco and Seattle +4 at Green Bay, paired with, I'll also take that under 46.5 in the Seahawks-Packers game, which it sounds like we're all going to best bet.
Gary?
Yeah, I'll go over 47 on Titans Ravens. I will go Chiefs -9.5 versus the Texans on Sunday, and then I will also make it unanimous on that under 46.5 Seahawks Packers, and I will just enjoy that first game, Vikings 49ers on Saturday.
So we have the exact same first time I think that's happened all year. We have the same best bets.
Yeah.
You and I. Yeah, all three.
Hmm.
So,
all right.
Big chance for me to climb the standings here.
Yeah. We'll either be in a very good mood for the conference championship MMQB gambling podcast, or we'll both be pissed off for the 30 minutes.
We'll both be blaming each other for jinxing it.
Exactly. All right, so that wraps up this edition of the MMQB gambling podcast. Good luck with the divisional round wagers. We'll see you next week for the title game. Title game.
That's what's next.
Yeah, that's it. We're dwindling down. It's sad to see. So enjoy it, and we'll see you next week. Take care.